All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. So I bet you everybody can guess what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to deep dive into the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. I'm betting in my own favor tonight that I will actually get to a second subject. Of course, I've got 24 slides on the Trump assassination alone. But anyway, I'm betting on myself that I will, and I'll be done 1 hour from now. 9:10 to 10:10, as Aaron giggles in the background. I'm never sure whether you can hear him or not, but I certainly can. So, but anyway, 10:10, we'll be done around 10:10, 10:12 max, something like that. I see the guesstimates coming in right now. Lizzie859's got 10:20. Regina Loves Art's got 10:23. Devlin Hart, hi back to you. See you guys in the chat. 11 Carl 11, see you on the Lord, Gene Lynn. Why not me? Todd Suff, Naz Yeager, My Broken Heart, Mara Z, Mike Griffith, Magellan, DeMarco, that's a cool name. I'm trying to keep up with you guys. La Picket Fence is on. Jogans is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Confederate One is on. Chopper Super Nut is on. Kep Guy One is on. Todd Suff is on. Henslick Donovan is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. I'm going to guess Nadad 311 is on. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Joe Dirt is on. Temel T. Bird is on. Man, you guys popped on in a hurry. I can't even get to the bottom. C. Suff is already giving a rumble rant tonight and her guess is at 10:22. You guys are mean. You're wrong. All right, right now, because I talked to everybody, I'm bumping it up to 10:12. 10:12. I'll be done. 10:12-ish. I'll be done. All right, a couple of things off. This is what always sets me back, but a couple of things just off the pregame real quick. When you see that, Kamala Harris, we want to congratulate her. She's done her first interview, her first solo interview. Remember now, she's not running to be, you know, dog catcher of, you know, of some small town in the Midwest. She's running to be president of the United States, and she hasn't done an interview since August 6th, and I believe today is the 16th of September.
Yeah.
So the woman has not done an interview since August 6th. She's running for president of the United States. I'm talking about zero interviews. Well, she finally did one. It was either, I believe it was yesterday, and she did it with a local ABC channel. Not nationally broadcast, a local ABC channel. And she was asked once again, what are you going to do to improve the economy? What are your economic plans? You know, as we are $36 trillion in debt, soaring unemployment rates, no matter what they tell you, soaring prices, soaring inflation, soaring unemployment, what exactly are you going to do? And what was her answer? The same one as the debate. I was raised a middle-class person. That was her answer. There was no, I listened to the entire answer, both in the debate and with the ABC interview. And it was the exact same start of the answer and then slight modifications off of that. Well, basically, all she did was tell different stories about her upbringing than she did at the debate. And some of them were probably the same. In the midst of, as you saw in that last video, what Charlie Kirk said was, if you want to buy a home now, just get this, because I'm thinking about what I was making a year when I bought my first home. I'm trying to think of exactly what it was. Maybe $50,000 a year, somewhere in there with overtime. I was making when I bought. No, I wasn't making 50. It was under 50. So between 40 and 50, probably lower 40s when I bought my first home. Now, my wife was making more money than me at the time. So we had a combined income, but we didn't have a combined income of $125,000. And in order for you to buy a house now to even qualify. Now, remember this now. I mean, I don't mean to get over economical. And some of you are like, get on to the assassination attempt. Believe me, we're going to spend plenty of time on that. But just think about it now. The average home cost in America is between $400,000 and $415,000. That's the average home cost. And you have to have a job to qualify for that loan of $125,000 a year. But the problem is you also have to put down 20%. What's 20% of $400,000? 80 grand. Who's got $80,000? I'm just curious. Who's got $80,000 they can put down on a house? So you can see why that young man decided to say, you know what, give me a MAGA hat. Because he's like, I don't have 80 grand now. And this isn't just for buying houses. Try to rent a workforce housing apartment for $2,000 a month. Tom, it's workforce. It doesn't matter. They build them all over the state of Florida. in areas like we are right now. They build what's called workforce housing. It sounds like it's some sort of like welfare project. It's not. They're actually really nice. And they're $2,000 a month. And you got to come up with first and last and security deposits. So first, $2,000. Second, $4,000. Security deposits, $1,500. So you got to come up with $5,500. And you're like, to be able to rent a home in the Biden economy. And none of this was in place when Trump was in charge. And again, I just go back to what one of the women that were interviewed that was part of like one of the, I can't remember whether it was CNN or MSNBC, one of their panels of undecided voters. And she said, we already have the examples that we need. We already have, the experiment's already been done. We've had 4 years of Trump. We've had 4 years of Kamala Harris. I can't afford anything now, but I could afford everything then. Simple as that. And last thing off of the pregame is that when Kamala Harris says that we have no troops currently in combat zones, it's all a lie. We have well over 1,000 in combat zones, for one thing. And then the woman who answered, I'm trying to remember what she's the governor. Can't remember what governor, what state she's on. But anyway, so she answers that Kamala Harris's erroneous answer was demonstrating her ability to be commander-in-chief on day one. So her not knowing what on earth she's talking about is demonstrating her ability to be commander-in-chief on day one. This is how idiotic this is. And what's going on? I didn't actually pull a lot of these. I didn't pull any of these clips, I don't think. There's so many of the, and we're on to the shooting now, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. What the mainstream media is trying to propagandize now, what they're trying to put out there, is that Trump caused his own assassination attempt via his vitriolic verbiage, via his, the vitriolic communications of the Trump administration, everybody's all amped up politically now. Everybody's saying things that are dangerous and threatening. And I'm trying to think of one thing Trump said that's dangerous or threatening. they say that he needs to lower the temperature on his communications. I'm like, where? What did he say? Now, again, the only people that are committing acts of violence are the ones accusing others of committing acts of violence. And I'll just make that very simple. The left is accusing the right of being dangerous to our democracy. The left is constantly, and of course, there's various manifestations of the left, whether it's the transgenders who are always saying that they're victims of a transgender genocide, and they're the only ones that are actually committing mass shootings. So the only ones that are victims of genocides are the victims of the people saying that they're victims of genocides. So, I mean, again, it's classic projection, but projection is such an overused term, and I like to be very much more specific. The people that are, saying that, that the right or that the Trump, the MAGA, whatever, the Trump side of politics, and I'm proudly MAGA, wear a MAGA hat and all that. I'm just saying, they say that MAGA is the threat, is the violent threat, is the threat of violence. Not one MAGA person has done one violent thing. And they'll always hearken back to 3.5 years ago at 1-6, but they can't confirm that any MAGA person ever committed an act of violence. And the only people that died on that day were MAGA people. And MAGA people, again, it's so funny because they're always so concerned about people like you and I toting guns. You and I are the big threat. Aaron and Brent and I, we're the threats, right? Because we're toting guns. But the only people that are toting guns are leftists or people that are here because of leftists. Trent DeAgua toting guns in Aurora, Colorado, going from apartment to apartment, taking over apartments and collecting rent. So, basically committing mass acts of extortion at the end of a barrel of a gun. The only people that caused that are the people who are so allegedly concerned about gun control and the only people with guns making threats to anybody. Think about it. You can send it to me on the chat right now. I'm looking at the bottom of the chat. If you send it to me right now, I'll if it's true, I'll have Aaron verify it. And if it's true, I'll talk about it right now. Send me any story. And Aaron and Brent, you guys think of anything? Let me know. Aaron can talk directly in my ear. So can Brent. Just let me know. Send me any story of a MAGA hat wearing, symbolically speaking, a MAGA hat wearing person committing any act of gun violence. Can you think of it? But yet we're constantly accused of being the gun violent threats, that we're going to be the ones that commit acts of gun violence. But we never actually do it, even though we own all the guns. So again, the only people that are committing the violent acts are the ones accusing other people of being the threat to violent acts, or the threat of violent acts. All right, so let's pop right into this thing here. Act for America, let's set it up here. Act for America video. Now, I do want to set up and run, I'm going to run a montage, huge montage of videos here, and with a smattering of tweets, but some of the videos are redundant on the other videos, because everybody, what I'm doing is extracting certain information out of each video, and you may hear another video that has the same information, but there's one different point in it, and that's the point I'm trying to pull out. You can't splice them all, because it's all so intermingled about all of this, you know, all of the information about, you know, Ryan Routh, that's the assassin. There's so much information about him, and it all interweaves, so it's impossible to cut these clips. So there's a little bit of redundancy. They're all short clips, but there's some redundancy. So you may hear one video say, well, he's charged with this, and then you know the video, and then the next video says the same thing. But understand that in each video, we're extracting this very specific either piece of information or pieces of information. Act for America video revealed Trump shooter Ryan Routh had numerous previous felony charges. Play for me.
By way of his background, in 2002, as the United States attorney mentioned, the subject was charged and convicted in North Carolina for possession of a weapon of mass destruction. Law enforcement checks also revealed that from 1997 to 2010, the subject had numerous felony charges for stolen goods. I can also share with you that he was the subject of a previously closed 2019 tip to the FBI, where it was alleged he was a felon in possession of a firearm. In following up on the tip, the alleged complainant was interviewed and did not verify, I repeat, did not verify providing the initial information. The FBI passed that information to local law enforcement in Honolulu. On behalf of the FBI, I would like to thank the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office and Martin County Sheriff's Office for their incredible work and actioning the witnesses' information and rapidly apprehending the subject.
So as always, let's discuss the idiocy of the left, because I actually saw somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who now, put out there that, you know what, Trump is being haunted by his own policies that allow people like Ryan Routh to have a gun. Oh, really? Is that the case? Ryan Routh is a convicted felon. He can't buy a gun. So how's Trump being haunted by his policies that allow people to have the guns that are threatening him? I mean, people are so freaking stupid, it's difficult to pastor. It really is. I mean, it gets to the place sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm gonna Matthew 10, 13 through 15, the whole thing, and shake the dust off my feet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because you're like, you're so stupid that you're saying Trump is being haunted by his own policies that allow people like Ryan Routh to carry an AK-47. Aren't you stupid idiot? He's a convicted felon. He can't buy an AK-47. And since he spent a lot of his life over in Ukraine, I wonder how that AK-47 came over here with its serial number removed. That's weird, isn't it? It's very weird. So he's a convicted felon. And of course, the FBI does its usual sterling job. They are very fervent and very adamant about arresting people with MAGA hats on and arresting pro-lifers singing how great they are in front of abortion clinics in violation of the Ridiculous Face Act. And, you know, of course, the ATF is great about implementing policies about, like, you can't sell your firearm anymore if you make, I think I'm trying to remember the numbers, don't hold me any of this. If you make a profit on your gun, the sale of your gun, you can't sell that gun anymore without getting a federal firearms license, without getting a federal firearms gun dealer's license. Nobody tells anybody that, and they end up shooting a guy to death over it because the guy sold like his gun to somebody, didn't know that he had to have a license to sell his gun now. And then when they could have just contacted the guy. Sterling Citizen runs the Little Rock Airport in Little Rock, Arkansas. raided his house in the middle of the night. He doesn't know who's coming in. All these guys wearing black, not announcing themselves. So he brandishes a gun, and they shoot him in the forehead. That was the director of the Little Rock Airport. You can put that's the federal system. They're very fervent about suppressing people's First and Second Amendment rights. But we'll get to the First Amendment rights in a minute. They're very fervent about that. But when it comes to a tip that they get, that Ryan Routh, very strange, they get a tip. Ryan Routh, who is this, let me just put it out there for everybody, is obviously a deep state, CIA, Department of State, DHS, whatever asset. Come on. And you're like, how do you just watch all these, watch all this information that we put out tonight? If you haven't seen it already on Alex Jones or Dan Bongino, Tucker Carlson or wherever else, and maybe we'll have some that they don't have, and maybe they had some that we don't have. But anyway, it's very obvious. I mean, how does a, trying to remember his, I believe that he is a low income roofer. I believe he's a roofer. How is it he travels the globe? I'm just curious. How does he end up going over and trying to recruit ISIS fighters for the Ukraine? I'm getting ahead of myself right now. We'll prove all this to you in a minute. But how does anybody actually get all that money? Could it be the bottomless coffers of the federal government? Could it be that? And this guy just happens to show up, doesn't live in Martin County, Florida, where Trump's, or it's either West Martin County, Florida made the arrest. I'm not sure whether the golf course in Martin County or West Palm Beach County, Florida, they're right next to each other. But Martin County is the one who's arrested him. It's the sheriff's office that arrested him. He doesn't live in Martin County. How did he know? And by the way, credit Dan Bongino. You know how many people knew that Trump was going to be on that golf course at that time? Because this is what you call, I don't remember, it, of course, Dan Bongino knows because he's Secret Service agent on the presidential protection team. This was an unannounced stop. There's a specific term for it. Tune into Bongino, today's show. It's a way better explanation than I'm giving on the specifics of the operation. But anyway, it's an unannounced op. So nobody knows, but Bongino said maybe 10 people on the planet know that Trump's going to that golf course. 10 people, and they actually keep it that way. And even if somebody shot it on social media, which nobody did, and put it out that Trump's on his way, they wouldn't know what golf course or anything else. So how in the world does Ryan Routh end up sitting there for 12 hours? Can anybody explain that to me? I mean, seriously now, we need to get into the realm now that if people continue to cover this stuff up, like Mayorkas, like Ray, like the director of the CIA, the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, whatever it is, Avril Lavigne, these people need to be going to federal prison. I want to know. I really want to know. I'm getting all fired up. I don't think I get as fired up about this as I'm getting. I might as well just talk about vaccines. But how in the world does Ryan Routh end up camped out with a backpack, what do you call them, Aaron? The GoPros?
Yeah, GoPro.
A GoPro. And he's set up there and food for 12 hours, according to authorities. He was there for 12 hours. How is that possible? When nobody knew that he was going to that golf course. So Trump is going to that golf course. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, it's like it reminds me of Crooks bringing his drone hours and hours ahead of time and then being able to do that.
You're such a conspiracy theorist. I mean, come on. I mean, again, and wait till you hear this. In case I don't get to some of this stuff, Crooks and Routh were both in BlackRock commercials. It's a fact. Huh. It's an absolute fact. Both Crooks and Routh. You have Crooks training at the DHS gun range with overseas encrypted accounts for Germany and New Zealand. I finally remember Germany, then I forgot the other one.
Belgium.
Belgium does it. I mean, Thomas Crooks, do you ever, I mean, again, you might think this is mean. If you do, I don't care. Okay? Just so you know. But anyway, look at Crooks. How does Crooks build sophisticated explosive devices with 3-channel detonators? Aaron couldn't even do that.
No.
I mean, come on. How does this guy do this while he's training at the DHS gun range with encrypted accounts in Germany, New Zealand, and Belgium? And one of those encrypted accounts was literally like one building over from the United Nations. I mean, come on. Eventually, listen, Avril Lavigne, director of this, and then she's DNI, and the director of the CIA, Christopher Wray, Biden, Harris, Mayorkas, the State Department, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, they're going to need to answer for this stuff because I really would love to know how in the world Ryan Routh ends up on Trump's golf course 12 hours in advance when only 10 people knew 10 minutes in advance where he was going. I'm just curious. Is there somebody working on the inside of Trump's detail? Is there somebody on the inside working out of Mar-a-Lago? And I want to know. I mean, that's the, we need to find out. And I'm going to tell you what. If Republicans take the House and the Senate and the presidency, which I hope they do, on November 5th, and everybody goes limp-wristed after this, I am, you know what? I will never give up because God will never allow me to do this. He's always caused me to triumph. But the thing is, at that moment, I don't know what I'll do with the Republican Party at that point. I mean, I'd have to vote for them over Democrats. I don't know if I'd even stay a registered Republican. They go limp-wristed after this. I'm telling you, because these people need to go to prison. We need to find out who's orchestrating these things. Because this is obviously another inside job. So, in 2019, back to the FBI. The FBI gets a credible tip that Ryan Routh, what are the odds? 2019, the FBI knows the guy. Does the FBI know, the FBI knew about every mass shooter the last 10 we've covered in advance. You know, that's slightly hyperbolic because it may only have been 8 out of 10. They known about just about every mass shooter that has ended up committing a mass shooting over the last, you know, 4.5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve that on this podcast. So lo and behold, they knew Ryan Routh just like CBS News knew about him. Just like the New York Times knew about him. They all know the guy. Because remember, if you're going to have fascism, which I'll get deep into in a minute, then when you're going to have a Hitler, you got to have a Goebbels. You got to have a media outlet. They all knew this guy. ABC News, CBS News, knew Ryan Routh. The New York Times did an expose on this guy. And lo and behold, he's camped out. And, you know, CNN doesn't cover any of Trump's rallies until J-13 in Butler, Pennsylvania. That's weird. And they show up that day. No, but nobody knew Roger Stone's house was going to be raided. Not one soul on the planet outside of insiders inside the FBI. And the whole CNN is camped out there filming the whole thing. That's weird, isn't it? It's almost like they're all together in some sort of giant circle bleep symbiote, right? Because that's what it is. And I'm jumping ahead of myself. There's so many things popping through my head right now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to show you the slides first. So 2019, the FBI gets a credible tip that Ryan Routh is in possession of a firearm in violation of the law where a felon can't be in possession of a firearm. So they go and interview the tipster, and the tipster won't verify that he was the tipster. So they just give it up and then they just tell local law enforcement. That's weird, isn't it? They just give up. The tipster won't verify that he was the tipster, so they just don't. You couldn't make a phone call to Ryan Routh? No phone call to Ryan Routh? FBI, the greatest law enforcement institution on the planet, they can't make a phone call to Ryan Routh's home and ask him, are you in possession of a firearm? You can't send the cops out to his house and say, are you in possession of a firearm in violation of federal law? Are you? Just curious. They don't do anything. They just pass it on to local law enforcement. Where does Ryan Routh live? Go to the next one for me, Brent. Laura Loomer tweet, this is Ryan Routh's home in Hawaii. What's that sticker on the back of his pickup truck? I believe that says Biden-Harris, does it not? Notice the pickup truck in his driveway with the Biden-Harris bumper sticker. He was radicalized by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and repeated their line that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. That's where he lives, so the FBI couldn't make a phone call. Oh, does the FBI have an office in Maui? Does the FBI have an office in Honolulu? I guarantee you they have an office somewhere in Hawaii. That'd be the dream job, right? I guarantee you they couldn't just drive out to the guy's house and check and see if he's in violation of federal gun laws. No, don't do a freaking thing. They just passed it on to local law enforcement and ended up nobody did anything. Let's move on. Alex Jones video. And this is Alex Jones talking with Jack Posobiec, breaking Trump's attempted assassin in Florida, Ryan Wesley Routh, directly tied to, so you have the CIA who refused to investigate him, and he's directly tied to the CIA / Biden administration. Play for me, Brent.
Shooter, we're told, is Ryan Wesley Routh, 58 years old, someone who is intimately involved in Ukraine recruiting operations for foreign fighters. So the foreign fighter flow that was going between the U.S. and Ukraine, this is a guy who was directly involved with these types of operations. Someone, by the way, who was even quoted in the New York Times about a year ago alongside Malcolm Nance, who was also involved in these foreign fighter flows, as involved with, let me see here, the Foreign Legion of Ukraine. So the Ukrainian Foreign Legion, the Ukrainian International Legion, different people referring to it. There's some moving target as to where exactly he resided, or he may have moved around at some point, because they're saying he resided in Florida, then other places. He's referring to himself as being from Hawaii. The New York Times said that he was from North Carolina. But again and again, the main nexus that we see coming up here is that he was heavily involved with Ukraine. If this is the exact name, by the way, he was involved with a scheme to attempt to recruit Afghan refugees. So Afghan foreign trained fighters, or US CIA trained fighters, that he was attempting to bring those Afghan fighters into Ukraine to fight Russia, and was having trouble getting the passports in order to do so. Also, we're seeing that he received direct consent from the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine back in May of this year, saying that he was under contract as potentially a mercenary, or what they call a salaried soldier, under the position of a shooter. Raheem Kassam has that up. I've retweeted it. Why was it that this guy was able to get so close? Why didn't President Trump have full security, presidential level security? Why didn't he have? How did he have access to this? And more importantly, did he have access to President Trump's schedule? Because from what my people are telling me, that he was only about one or two holes away from where President Trump was standing. I'm also told that when he had his interaction, his exchange of fire, and I keep hearing that phrase over and over, exchange of fire, that he, I'll read you just a tweet from, or a comment from a source. They broke ranks to get to a hard point to return cover.
All right. So far on Ryan Wesley Routh, 58 years old, unknown where he lives at this point, although his last known address was the one that I just showed you. Very, very strange that this guy, who is a low income roofer, was recruiting Afghan CIA trained fighters to go fight in Ukraine. It's almost as if the CIA was involved with Ryan Routh, because he was recruiting their trained soldiers to go fight in Ukraine, trying to get them passports. He was also a songwriter. He was writing songs about Ukraine and trying to get them published. He also had direct consent from Ukraine, from their Department of Defense, as a salaried soldier. And he just shows up in Martin County, Florida. And listen, I'm not denigrating Martin County, Florida. It's beautiful. But there's nothing in Martin County, Florida. But he just shows up in Martin County, Florida, 12 hours on the golf course, one to two holes away from Donald Trump with an AK-47. And once again, there's no security perimeter. I wonder if it's going to look like a Pac-Man again, Aaron. I wonder if it's going to look like an open mouth Pac-Man again, where they have their security perimeter, except for the exact place where Routh was camped at. So that's, so far, that's what we knew. Strange, isn't it? Go to the next one for me. So let's go more. Exclusive attempted Trump assassin Ryan Routh appeared in a propaganda video for the Azov Battalion. So he's been in a Black Rock video. He's been in an Azov Nazi Battalion video in May of 2022, right? So you got Crooks and him both in Black Rock commercials. And now you've got Ryan Routh in an Azov Battalion commercial. Strange. I mean, it's just, and I guess, it's, again, in order for you to believe that this was just some sort of happenstance, some sort of coincidence, you'd have to be an idiot. It makes you want to give up on the world. That people will honestly delude themselves into believing that this guy is not a deep state CIA asset, because he's over there recruiting their own soldiers to fight in the CIA war. The war caused by the CIA. The war caused by Jake Sullivan and Victoria Nuland and John McCain and John Kerry and Lindsey Graham and Hussein Obama. Everybody know how the Ukraine war even started? The Ukraine war basically started with Ukraine independence movement, where you're hearing me talk all the time about Luhansk and Donetsk. You're like, what does this have to do with the shooter? Because everything is a symbiote. Everything is a giant circle bleep symbiote, where people are trying to enrich themselves. It's just like this. If your life and your wealth and your prestige depended on war, would you not be tempted to proliferate warfare? It's almost like if you're a cop, Do you really want crime to end if you're going to lose your job? You see, I mean, you know, obviously you have to be a man or a woman of honor and go ahead and say, you know what, even if I lose my job, I want war to end, I want crime to stop, right? You have to be that way, and you go find a different job. But people aren't that way, especially when you're dealing with the love of money, which is the root of all evil. When you, like, if you lose your cop job, you're losing a middle-class income. If you lose your warmonger job like Victoria Nuland, you're losing billions of dollars. So these people proliferate wars. So you had a breakout. You had the breakout province since you're always hearing me talk about. Luhansk and Donetsk and Crimea, they all broke out. They wanted to be free. They're all choosing to be annexed into Russia. So they fire up the Azov battalion and, of course, other Ukrainian troops and then go take them back. It's all part of the 2014 color revolution. They go and try to take those provinces back so they won't annex into Russia because they'd already lost Crimea. That's all there is to this whole thing. So all the what Putin is trying to take, Tom's pro-Putin. It's not got nothing to do with anything. It's got to do with what's true and what's not true. What's true and what's not true. Why do we have Ryan Routh in the woods, an unemployed roofer with international connections and obviously millions of dollars in his pocket to travel the globe? How does he end up in the bushes one hole away from Donald Trump with an AK-47? Because somebody wants him there. Somebody's profiting off of him being there. Somehow or another, it's going to keep the war going in Ukraine. Because if Trump comes in, he says he's going to end the war. If he ends the war, there goes Victoria Nuland's profits. There goes John Kerry's profits. There goes the Biden's malfeasance. Secrecy will now be exposed. The money laundering operations with the names of Romney and Pelosi inside of Ukraine and Metabiota with Biden's name on it. And Privat Bank with Biden's name on, that all gets exposed. So there's lots of international interest. And what they do is they call those things, all their little malfeasance, all their corruption, they call it United States interests. Well, why did you redact that document? Because if we don't redact the document, it's a threat to national security. No, it's not a threat to national security. It's a threat to your own personal corrupt wealth. And the CIA is in place and the FBI is in place to protect that corrupt oligarchical wealth. That's all that it is. That's the entire world. Yeah, but Tom, I hear the national anthem, America the Beautiful, you know, all those. Well, that's the way America's supposed to be. Harken back to the movie Gladiator. There was a dream that was Rome. There is a dream that was America. We're not living that dream now. What we have is institutionalized corruption being protected by the FBI and the CIA, the State Department, and even the Pentagon. That's what's happening. And they're all waving flags around. Like, that's, they call their institutionalized corruption, they call it America. Just like they call their totalitarianism democracy. That all makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. So here you have Ryan Routh. It's all just a coincidence. He's over in Ukraine in an Azov battalion commercial, which is what basically keeps the Ukraine war going the whole time. For the benefit of all the international oligarchy, what Mike Benz calls the blob, there he is on an Azov battalion commercial. Then he ends up one hole away from Donald Trump. Go to the next one for me. So here it is. The video is a message. That's him right there. There he is. He looks like a sane person, doesn't he? But it's prime for CIA recruitment, just like Crooksy. Both of them in BlackRock commercials too, because BlackRock is the financier for the international corrupt oligarchy. This video is a message. Notice that this is the name. He's proudly on it. That's him. He's in the video. It's called Save Azov. You might as well put Save Hitler. These are not like your skinhead type Nazis in America who are horrible people. I'm just saying, telling you, they're not that way. These are legit freaking Nazis, because Nazism goes way back to 1938 inside of Ukraine. Plenty of Ukrainians signed up to be Nazis. I'm sorry if you don't like it. It's just true. And they're still Nazis to this day. You find Nazism all over the place. Klaus Schwab, his daddy's a Nazi. Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, her grandfather is a Nazi. And then they have a Nazi speak on the parliamentary floor in Canada. The same demons running the Nazis are the demons running the globalist left now, because the globalist left then were Nazis. The globalist left now are Nazis. This video is a message to the world from the Mariupol defenders. They are grateful to Save Azov for your support. That's him right there. Strange that this unemployed roofer is able to pull this off. I wonder where he gets his finances. What, I mean, Aaron, you're the only one in here that is. I mean, when I was a little kid, I flew internationally. And I know we're going to go backward after just for inflation, especially under the Biden administration. But you're the only one in this room that I'm aware of that's really flown internationally over in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So flying to Ukraine, any guess on up and back what that would cost?
I mean, thousands of dollars, $5,000 to $10,000.
And then stay there. You have to stay there for months.
Yeah.
So you look at it, where does a guy who's not even currently employed getting this money and then going over there and being not just over there as an activist. He's over there as a CIA asset recruiting Afghan CIA-trained fighters to fight in Ukraine. Because you want to keep the proliferation, you want to keep the war going because the war profits the oligarchical, the corrupt oligarchy that rules the planet right now. All right, let's go to the next one. 1984 tweet. Okay, am I reading this right? The Trump shooter was caught in 2002, I told you some of these things overlap, with a weapon of mass destruction and got probation.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, by the way, you can put the next one up. If you want to screenshot this and blow it up, you can. Or you just go to 1984. It's got, 200,000 followers, I think, on Twitter. Something like that. 184,000, something like that. So go back to the previous one for me, Brett, because I can't read nothing off of that. I just want to show everybody that's actual, too. That's what it looks. That looks like to me like a somebody ran his background. It is. It looks like a background check. So the shooter was caught in 2002 with a weapon of mass destruction and got probation. What did the FBI do? Weapon of mass destruction? Strange. The FBI did nothing again. So the FBI, 5 years, get this now. Has everybody seen this? And again, you guys jump in. If there's something that I'm missing, let me know. You can even get word to Aaron because I can't pay attention to the chat all the time. Get Aaron's attention to the chat, and I'll throw it out here. But so in 2002, he's 58 years old now, so he's only 2 years older than I am. So that's 22 years ago. So I'm 56, so 22 years ago, 36, 34, so he is 36 at the time. So he's 36 years old and gets caught with a weapon of mass destruction and gets probation, and then the FBI does nothing. And then they all know this, and then he ends up being a convicted felon for like theft and things like that. And then he gets caught with a firearm in 2019, and the FBI gets reported that and then does nothing with that either, but refers it to local law enforcement. It's almost as if this guy... It's almost as if this guy's being treated like a confidential informant, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like we got ourselves a little skinny Ray Epps here, who can do basically whatever they want and never get charged because they're going to be used in some situation that's going to be profitable for the corrupt international oligarchy, right? All right, let's go to the next one. I want to show you this now. Now we have the media. So I've covered some of this. Now we're going to go with how the media is covered this. And I know that this is several days old, but the reason why I'm showing this is a Josh Dunlap video. J.D. Vance puts Dana Bash in her place. And I know everybody saw this already, viral video of him just putting the smackdown on Dana Bash. But I throw this to you because here we have, again, Ryan Rausch recruiting CIA fighters to go fight in Ukraine. Who is Dana Bash? She is the ex-wife, of the guy who orchestrated the 51 former intel chiefs scam hoax. Remember 51 former intel chiefs. Remember Biden said that the Hunter Biden laptop, which everybody knew was legit at long before this was ever put out. It wasn't like they put it out and then whoops, Leon Panetta finds out that, you know what? It turns out it was Hunter's. He already knew it was Hunter's. You're telling me, Tom, they're that corrupt. They are that devoid of all integrity? Yes. They all knew in advance that the Hunter Biden laptop was 100% legit. The FBI had already told them. The FBI had it in their possession for months before that. They already knew, of course, that it was legit. But Dana Bash's husband circulated the petition that everybody signed where the 51 former intel chiefs like Leon Panetta all signed on there, said this has the sure earmarks of Russian disinformation. So that is who we're dealing with. You're like, Tom, then you're like, basically, it's Orwellian. It's 1984, and everybody's against us. Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, you have Yahweh. You have Jesus. You have the Holy Ghost. Because, listen, I'm just going to flat out tell you that basically everything, and that's hyperbolic because it's not every last thing, but the society is set up against people who tell the truth and want to operate in the truth and live in the truth. Because you have the corrupt international oligarchy, of which most of Washington, D.C. is run by, and then you have their propagandists, which is all mainstream media, and even some right-wing media that is like, yeah, we're rooting for Ukraine. We're going to, you know, Slava Ukraine. Ukraine's going to win. You'll see a lot of Republicans do that. They're idiots. They don't see the big picture. They're just saying whatever it takes for them to be popular. So anyway, J.D. Vance put Stanton in her place. So just so you know, that's who this person is. She is a CIA propagandist. She is the wife of, ex-wife of a former CIA propagandist. Here's J.D. Vance. Play it for me.
These calls from the constituents. Dana,
and they're telling me this stuff is happening. Dana, would you like to ask me questions and then let me answer them? Or would you like to debate me on these topics? I noticed that when you had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you gave them multiple choice answers to the questions that you asked, and you allowed them to answer the questions. I'm happy to be here to talk about policy, but if you're going to interrupt me every single time that I open my mouth, then why am I even doing this? So please, ask a question, and I'd ask you to be polite enough to let me answer it.
Yes, I am, and I think that...
And why hasn't Dana Bash come out and confronted Kamala Harris about her erroneous claim that we have zero soldiers that are in combat zones right now? She hasn't come out and fact-checked that at all. But yet everything that J.D. Vance says, she's interrupting. You've watched the entire interview. It's like 6, 7, 8 minutes long. Maybe longer. I just saw a clip that was like 7 minutes long. And she interrupts them the entire time. The reason why she doesn't, it's very, life is actually very simple. It's corrupt or not corrupt. You're either hot or you are cold. You're either hot or cold. But you can be lukewarm, which is actually an extreme version of being cold. But anyway, so the reason why she doesn't interrupt Kamala Harris is because Kamala Harris is just like Dana Bash is a pro-CIA globalist. An international, corrupt, cabal, oligarchical propagandist. That's who she is. And you're like, does she know she is? She does to some degree. She knows that's who she is. She knows that she lies for a living. But eventually, see, when you lie long enough and people are esteeming you for those, they don't esteem you for the lies. They esteem you for the position you have, and the position you have is because of the lies. You don't want to lose that esteem. International recognized journalist, Dana Bash. But she doesn't interrupt Kamala Harris because Kamala Harris is just like her, pro-CIA globalist. If she interrupts Kamala Harris, that would be fighting against their agenda, would be counteractive to their agenda. They don't want that. So she lets Kamala's free flag lies fly. But J.D. Vance's truth violates the international globalist cabal. When he talks about the truth of what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, that violates Soros's mass migration policies, illegal migration policies, Klaus Schwab's, the WEF, the UN, the WHO, and many other organizations. They're pro the Vatican's pro-illegal immigration policies. It violates it. So she's going to interrupt him and try to make him look foolish and fight against them because they are on opposite sides. She's not reporting on anything. She is advocating for an agenda. Look at this one, Jack Posobiec video. How many journalists was Ryan Routh in touch with? Here's CBS Morning News. Play it for me.
Ryan Routh was the suspect in an alleged assassination attempt on former President Trump. I immediately recognized the name because I had been in touch with Ryan Routh for over a year in the early stages of the war in Ukraine. Like thousands of other international volunteers, he apparently went to Ukraine to help. I don't believe that he was fighting himself, but he had put up signs in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital, offering to help other foreigners find places in Ukrainian battalions. And that's how I initially came across him. I spoke with him, I think, once on the phone and texted frequently, and he put me in touch with several foreign fighters. Now, he seemed very genuine and passionate about supporting Ukraine. He mentioned plans to bring in thousands of Afghan and Syrian fighters, which I took, frankly, with a grain of salt. In an interview with the news website Semaphore, he claimed he'd been unable to get visas for Afghan fighters, But we don't know if he was actually in touch with any Ukrainian officials at all. Now, I've met American volunteers everywhere from Syria to Ukraine. Some are experienced soldiers and clear about the dangers they're facing, but others seem less well-informed and their motivations can be quite confused. To be honest, Ryan Ruth did it seem, at times, seem fairly naive. At one point, he sent me an audio track of a song he'd apparently recorded about the carnage caused by the war in Ukraine. In November of last year, he told me he was back in the U.S., in Hawaii, and that was the last time I heard from him. Anne-Marie.
Wow, Holly, fascinating. Thank you very much.
So you have international CBS News. That woman's reporting from London, England. That's strange, isn't it? The financial hub of the world for the globalist cabal, but I digress. So there she is in London, England, in perpetual contact. Remember, that was the last time I ever heard from him. She was in contact with Ryan Routh. She calls him Ruth, but it's spelt like mouth, so I'm going to call him Routh. So Ryan Routh, for a long, extended period of time, with CBS News. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, listen, nobody, to Crooks's advantage, you know, to Crooks's credit, at least nobody ever heard of them before. Ryan Routh was in contact with CBS News and ends up one hole away from Donald Trump with an AK-47?
Oh, my God.
It's almost as if there's this orchestrated giant cabal and CBS is the Goebbels for the cabal, because that's exactly what it is. Look at this one. Laura Loomer tweet. Breaking. New York Times profiled him. I mean, this wasn't like, you know, one of those man on the street things where they catch Aaron like saving a kitten. No, they went and profiled the man who ends up one hole from Donald Trump with an AK-47. I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious that this guy is a deep state asset. It's so blatantly obvious. Nobody ends up trying to shoot the president of the United States, who was a former Afghan CIA trained fighter recruiter, and is profiled for his wondrous CIA-sponsored activities inside of Ukraine by the New York Times and CBS News. And ends up sitting in the trees in Martin County, Florida, with the skaters waiting for Donald Trump. Come on. I mean, can we all just wake up now? There's still people that refuse to even call Crooks an inside job. And people keep talking to me about Iran. Iran is not involved with any of these things. No. Iran is horrible. Iran is demonic. Everybody that's not of Jesus is demonic, just so you know. But I'm just saying, Iran's got nothing to do with this. Russia's got nothing to do with this. This is the United States government and the globalist oligarchical cabal of self-interest protection. That's all that it is. Ryan Routh served in the U.S. Foreign Legion in Ukraine. Well, that's strange. Which is reportedly, what was this? What's this next line? Which is reportedly tied to the CIA. Not only did Newsweek, here we go again, Newsweek, CBS News, New York Times, all coinkadinkly know the guy sitting with the skeeters on the fifth hole of the golf course Trump's on. Weird, isn't it? Not only did Newsweek interview Ryan Routh, and of course New York Times profiled him about his service in the U.S. Foreign Legion in Ukraine, sponsored by the CIA, but in 2023, the New York Times also profiled the shooter and his efforts to recruit foreign fighters to Ukraine illegally in Pakistan and Iran. Sounds very much very similar to CIA activities, isn't it? Like, CIA never does anything illegal, like running drugs, running guns in Iran by purchasing fake passports for Afghan soldiers in Pakistan. Weird. So the U.S. government knew this guy was doing illegal mercenary work, and they never stopped him. That's because the United States government were the ones financing his illegal mercenary work. Even worse, the anti-Trump leftist media wrote glowing profiles about him and gave him a platform. Ryan Routh's cell phone and number traces back to Fight for Ukraine, which has been accused of being a terrorist organization focused on recruiting mercenaries to fight in Ukraine for the sake of killing Russian soldiers. This guy just coincidentally decides to be in Martin County, Florida, in a location that maybe 10 people, credit Dan Bongino, ever knew about. Who could pull that off outside of a mole inside of the a mole inside of the Secret Service. Easy way to put it, a mole inside of the globalist cabal takeover of Washington, D.C. Somehow this guy knew. You'd have to have such a huge amount of inside information to know exactly where to be waiting for Donald Trump when this was an unannounced stop. Maybe 10 people knew. It's almost as if you would have to have insiders inside of the establishment, inside of the cesspool of D.C. to know Donald Trump is going to be right where he was sitting. And credit to his protection team for protecting him, because those guys don't know. They're like street level cops. They don't know. But does Ronald Rowe know? I'd like to put Ronald Rowe. Wouldn't you love to put Christopher Wray and Ronald Rowe and Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco and Avril Lavigne, all put them all on polygraphs? I'd love to watch them take a polygraph. I mean, I'd pay money. I'd do a pay-per-view. I would sponsor a pay-per-view. I'd love to watch them all take polygraphs. Let's go to the next one. Laura, where am I at? Mike Benz video. Who does the State Department and by extension the CIA work for? Here he is with Jimmy Dore. Play for me.
I thought that the CIA works for the president. You're telling me they don't, that they're a rogue organization. So who do they work for?
They represent the College of Corporations and Financial Firms, who are the beneficiaries of U.S. foreign policy action. Every multinational company depends on the U.S. State Department, depends on the Pentagon, depends on our intelligence services to work as this trifecta in order to pry open markets for their goods and services, in order to influence the course of legislation in foreign countries, to either get bills passed or to kill bills that might threaten that College of Corporations' profits. This is our U.S. Embassy. 2 months before we overthrew the government of Ukraine in 2014, the event that Victoria Nuland is speaking at is sponsored, literally the State Department sponsored by ExxonMobil, the largest oil and gas company in the world, and Chevron, the number two. This was the speech where she bragged about how the U.S. State Department and USAID had flooded Ukrainian civil society, the right sector mobs, and the civil society institutions who essentially put all these people on payroll so that they're dependent on them. American taxpayers paid the CIA mafia $5 billion, and she's bragging about that in front of signs for ExxonMobil and Chevron, who happen to be the chief beneficiaries of the regime.
A quick correction. I keep saying Avril Lavigne. That's stuck in my head, but Avril Haines is the DNI. I like to see her on a polygraph. Avril Haines. That's the right person. That's our current DNI, who is also, strangely, at Event 201. Avril Haines was at Event 201 for the wargaming of the coronavirus outbreak. It's weird and strange that she knew about something called a coronavirus 2 months before anybody had ever discovered that there was ever a coronavirus, a COVID-19. Very weird, isn't it? But there you have Victoria Nuland. That might, basically Mike Benz sums up. And that, listen, if you were to subscribe to any account, if you really want to know how this world works, subscribe to Mike Benz. It's deep dive. You got to sit there, pause it, take notes, pause it and take notes, because this guy is literally, I don't know, he's probably got 170 IQ and he can just download everything. From the top of his head. He never has any notes or anything. And by the way, who did Mike Benz used to work for? Anybody guess? CIA. So right before the overthrow, what I told you about earlier of Ukraine, where Ukraine broke loose, you had Donetsk and Luhansk, wants to break loose, wants to join Crimea, be annexed into Russia. Ukraine violently takes them back. That was all part of the 2014 Color Revolution. And there you have the person who orchestrated the 2014 Color Revolution, along with Jake Sullivan, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, John Kerry, Victoria Nuland, and she's at a conference being sponsored by Exxon and Chevron. You're like, see, we all think of this a lot of times as Republicans that, you know, capitalism is great. Capitalism is great. Federalism is great. It's all great, but those things really don't exist. There's an illusion of capitalism. We put this out before about basically every product that you buy is owned by one of five companies. What that really is, just so everybody knows, is fascism. Fascism is the merging of corporatism and government. That's fascism, where you have a veneer, a mirage of capitalism, but it's actually controlled by government. And there's various ways that they control it, which I don't have time to get into right now. So you see these corporate interests are then, right? Yeah, thank you, Aaron. right there, these court, that what Victoria Nuland would say is that in the interest of the United States of America, we need a 2014 overthrowing of the democratically elected Ukrainian president, right? That's what she says, because it's an American interest. Now, let me ask you this. Leave this up. This is brilliant. Leave this up. All of you that are watching, 1,207 people that are watching right now, and I don't know how many we're off CTN now, but anyway, how many of you have ever gotten anything out of Ukraine? How's it an interest for you? You're like, Tom, that's really too simple. No, it's not. It's not too simplistic. I'm asking you point blank. I'm doing a poll in the room with my producer Aaron and his associate producer Brent right over here. You guys ever got anything out of Ukraine?
No.
I mean,
No.
How is it in my interest that we fight in Ukraine or we fund the fighting in Ukraine? How is that in our interest? You know, like we talked about, I think it was Friday, where we are now going to send British missiles into Ukraine that can reach deep into Russia.
Yep.
And the only people that can fire those are British people, American people, or Western assets. That's it. So whenever Russia gets hit by one of those missiles, they will know that an American shot it. That's kind of a problem, isn't it? It's kind of a problem, right? But there's Victoria Nuland saying that we need to go and help Ukraine. No. What you have standing behind her is Exxon and Chevron, who want to profit off of Ukrainian gas assets and block Russian gas assets. Who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline? Ukraine, but Ukraine doesn't have the ability. It's almost very similar to the missiles. Ukraine doesn't have the ability to launch those missiles. Ukraine doesn't have the ability to build those missiles, but yet they're going to fire those missiles. Ukraine doesn't have the ability to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline, but let me see who does. SEAL team, whatever. SEAL team 3, SEAL team 4, SEAL team 6, whatever. The American military has the ability to do that. You don't go out there with a Boston Whaler and a snorkel and blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. And then, of course, to Victoria Nuland, who's a climate activist, causes the greatest ecological disaster in all of human history, was caused by the Nord Stream pipeline being blown up. So she says that we're going over there to fight for American interest or to fight for democracy. No, she's fighting for the corporate interests of Chevron and Exxon. You're like, well, that's fine. That's capitalism. No, it's not. It's not capitalism. This is not free market economies. This is not capitalism. There's no free markets being involved here. You have mass corporations merging with government and having government protect and advocate for the interest, even using violence, for the interest of those corporations. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. That's all that's going on in Ukraine. They want to, there's many things going on there, covering for malfeasance, covering for corruption. That's the simplistic stuff. That's very surface level. What's really going on there is people are looking to make hundreds of billions of dollars there. International Monetary Fund, Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation, Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, the Hyatt Corporation, run by J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, multibillionaire, his sister is being charged with the rebuilding of Ukraine. And all being backfunded by, can anybody guess? BlackRock. And they also, here's the thing, they call this all America, or they'll call this all democracy. Fighting for America, fighting for democracy. Well, they want Ukraine to be part of NATO because when you're part of NATO, you can only order your weapons from NATO-certified, NATO-approved companies, which are all owned, Aaron, put yourself on, which are all owned by?
BlackRock.
There you go. So BlackRock blows it up, and BlackRock builds it up. Blows it up, and then rebuilds it. And that's this, by the way, this is not conjecture or right-wing conspiracy theory. This is all absolute truth that you can actually trace. Let's go to the next one. Vigilant Fox video. New FBI special agent reveals there was a serious tip on Trump's would-be assassin in 2019, but they couldn't do anything because they could not certify it. I'm going to see. I think there's another snippet of information I wanted to get out of this, but I'm going to see because I know this is redundant from earlier. Play for me, Brent.
By way of his background, in 2002, as the United States attorney mentioned, the subject was charged and convicted in North Carolina for possession of a weapon of mass destruction. Law enforcement checks also revealed that from 1997 to 2010, the subject had numerous felony charges for stolen goods. I can also share with you that he was the subject of a previously closed 2019 tip to the FBI where it was alleged he was a felon in possession of a firearm. In following up on the tip, the alleged complainant was interviewed and did not verify, I repeat, did not verify providing the initial information. The FBI passed that information to local law enforcement in Honolulu.
Yeah, somewhat redundant from earlier, so we'll just head to the next one. But anyway, the FBI followed up on the tip. There's more information. The alleged complaint was interviewed. Complainant was interviewed and did not verify. Repeat, did not verify. So here you have Jeffrey Bell Vitrie, the spokesman for the FBI or FBI agent, saying, "You know, I repeat, was interviewed. This tipster was interviewed and did not verify. I repeat, did not verify providing the initial information." So it doesn't matter whether you can verify the tipster. Go verify the information. But I'm not going to talk about that again. Here's some more. This is new stuff now. Real America's Voice video at Real Eric Prince. This is the War Room. Reveals a possible link between the Butler and West Palm Beach shooters. Play for me, Brett.
One other weird thread. There's some indication that shows both the Butler shooter and this guy yesterday both appeared in Black Rock TV commercials. The statistical likelihood of that being random is impossible. So that's why I got animated last night about how Florida needs to take the lead in this investigation, because I just don't see the federal government, I don't see the FBI doing any kind of adequate job. The Miami field office, the head agent there, was instructed to scrub all his social media before he was appointed there because he was so virulently anti-Trump. This is the same field office that raided Mar-a-Lago on that bogus documents case. So if we think that they're going to be suddenly truth-seeking, the same guys that indicted him on complete nonsense charges, we're kidding ourselves. And so I really want Florida to flex up and assert, I mean, look, this was attempted murder in the state of Florida. It's not just a federal crime, that's a state crime. And I think the feds have lost any and all credibility on this. We don't know anything more about the Butler shooter. The Dems have tried to, the media has just tried to memory hole that as if something that doesn't exist. And now we have two assassination attempts on the candidate for president, unprecedented in American history.
And of course, way before this shooting actually occurs, it's as if the FBI knew it was going to occur. They have their guy in charge of the Miami field office who was so anti-Trump. Imagine this. The military is getting rid of anybody who's pro-Trump. The FBI is firing whistleblowers because they attend church, are anti-vax, or pro-Trump. And lo and behold, they have one of their most virulent anti-Trumpsters. And again, just get this now. If you put out something, you're the FBI, you're in the military right now, and you put out a picture of yourself with a MAGA hat on, you're finished. But this guy could do whatever he wanted to do until they were going to put him in charge of the Miami field office. And then they made him scrub his social media. So everybody else isn't allowed to post anything at all. This guy can post whatever he wants until he's going to get some sort of media profile. And people like you and I are going to screenshot his media posts. They make him scrub his social media profile. And now he's the guy who hates Trump, who had to scrub his social media, is now in charge of the second assassination attempt investigation. This is the field office that ran the Mar-a-Lago raid. That made absolutely no sense when Donald Trump had told NARA, had told the DOJ, just whatever you want, you can have it. The FBI had gone into Mar-a-Lago and said, we just have some concerns about how you're storing some of this stuff. So Donald Trump said, what do you want me to do? Put it behind lock and key. Donald Trump put it behind lock and key with Secret Service protection. That was the end of it. And then the Secret Service raided him too. The padlock that Donald Trump put on for the FBI, probably in their presence, because in order for the FBI to back off, he said, here it is, locked up. They came 2 weeks later and cut the padlock off that they saw him put on. That's this field office, and now they're in charge. That FBI agent is now in charge of this investigation. And strangely put in place, long before the second assassination attempt. All right, I mean, therefore, I am video. Mayorkas should be removed from office, along with every House Republican who voted against his impeachment. Now, what this video is about, am I the right one? Are we at I mean, therefore, I am?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is what we're extracting from this. That was just the title of it. What we're extracting, just 1 minute video. What we're extracting from this is Trump versus Obama protection. Play for me.
What a complete joke, Liz Peek. I mean, give me a break. They're over there on MSNBC having an entire conversation about toning down the rhetoric of Trump. He just had 2 assassination attempts on his life as they're calling him Hitler and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's really despicable. They're blaming Trump effectively for an attempt on Trump's life, Maria. It doesn't get stupider than that or more vile.
Yeah, and I just want to point out this. According to the Secret Service, the golf course yesterday was not fully secured because, quote, Trump is not a sitting president. Oh, really? Let's take a look at the kind of security President Obama has. Since he's no longer a sitting president, we've got pictures here of President Obama's golf course in Martha's Vineyard. Secret Service inspects every vehicle when they even drive near the course, Cheryl. So what's the answer? He's not a sitting president, yet the golf course that he's on is incredibly secure.
All of these questions should be answered because remember, in the fiscal 2025 budget that has been proposed, there is a budget increase again for the Secret Service. And I think that this all goes up to the top, and that is Secretary Mayorkas, Maria. That's who needs to be answering these questions right now.
Bingo. Great point. Let's take a short
going to be a budget increase for a failing Secret Service. So again, the more you fail, the more money you get. But anyway, so if you are President Obama, because the excuse that Ronald Rowe puts out, and I'm sure Liz Cheadle put out also, was that, you know what, we protect Donald Trump the best we can, but he's not the sitting president, so he gets a lesser detail. Only problem is that Hussein Obama is also not a sitting president, but gets an insane amount of protection. You know, what Maria Bartiromo brought up there was, you just compare golf courses, shall we? At Hussein Obama's golf course, they shut the entire golf course down and every vehicle is checked. At Donald Trump's golf course, you have the shooter 2 holes in front of him in the woods. with the skaters, Brad brought up. So compare and contrast, in Martha's Vineyard, you got the entire golf course shut down, and they're checking every car before he can even get onto the property. Conversely, in Martin County, Florida, or West Palm Beach, Florida, wherever the golf course is at, you have Ryan Routh in the woods, 2 holes from Trump. How does he even get in there if the whole place is locked down? Where's the helicopters? Where's the drones? Where is the pre-interdiction team walking in front? Where's the advance team? I'll bet you Hussein Obama never ends up with a shooter anywhere near him, because Hussein Obama has bent over and grabbed his ankles and is a prostitute for the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist global cabal. So Glenn Beck video, FBI whistleblower at Real Steve Friend warns about the FBI special agent in charge, the guy we mentioned earlier, which is Jeffrey Veltri, that was the idiot on the video, warns about this guy, the special FBI agent in charge of investigating the second Trump assassination. This is Mr. Jeffrey Veltri. Before he assumed his post in the FBI Miami, he was the deputy assistant director of the security division of the FBI. That's the branch that's going after the FBI whistleblowers. Play for me, Brent.
Let me talk to Steve Friend. Steve is a whistleblower with the FBI. They have made his life miserable, but he doesn't care. He's doing the right thing. He's one of the good guys that, you know, you used to see and you used to believe that existed in places like the FBI. He really is that guy. True blue, cares about the country and the Constitution. He blew the whistle on the FBI in Florida when they went full SWAT on Mar-a-Lago, which we know now was absolutely unnecessary and way out of protocol. Steve is with us now because I wanted to get him on because the guy who authorized that and then dummied evidence up is the guy in charge now of the FBI's investigation of this shooter. How good does that make you feel, Steve?
Oh, well, I mean, it actually goes a little bit deeper than that, Glenn. This is probably going to need the old chalkboard out here to explain to the audience. But this is Mr. Jeffrey Beltre. And for your audience's edification, before he assumed his post in FBI Miami as a special agent in charge, he was the deputy assistant director of the security division for the FBI. That's the branch that's going after the whistleblowers. And from that post, he actually said that whistleblowers that they were looking to purge from the ranks were people who were military veterans because he thought that they were disloyal.
Yes.
As well as people who attended regular religious worship ceremonies and opposed the coronavirus vaccine. And then when the word came down, he was going to go to the FBI Miami office, Christopher Wray and Deputy Director Paula Bate and Executive Assistant Director Jen Moore, also another person who was involved in getting rid of all the whistleblowers, said that he had to cleanse his Facebook account of all the anti-Trump vitriol that he publicly put out there. And now he's in a position of authority in my FBI Miami office, and that is the office that has the responsibility for investigating this latest assassination attempt.
So you think the guy who wanted to purge the FBI of military people, religious people, and Trump supporters might not do an honest investigation? Is that what I'm hearing, Steve?
Well, I mean, throw it out a little sarcasm here, Glenn, but at the same time, I mean, this is the agency that looked at the 2017 congressional baseball shooting where a Bernie Sanders supporter showed up, asked where are the Republicans, and then proceeded to try to kill 10% of the Republican caucus. And the FBI investigated, said that was not an assassination attempt. That was suicide by cop.
Yeah. Did everybody hear that last bit? I told you just little pieces. And listen, I want you guys to do me a favor over here. The Vigilant Fox video that we did about 3-4 ago, which is the new FBI special agent reveals. If you guys can just put that up side by side, Aaron, whenever you get a chance, because I want everybody to just see who Jeff Beltre is. That's him right there. Yeah, if you guys could just put that up there. Aaron, you can even just freeze it. That's good. You can just freeze it right there. I just want everybody to see who this person is, because it looks like, you know, again, going by, you know, looks, this looks like a conservative guy, kind of a cop's cop, right? Conservative guy. It looks like some sort of like state attorney, district attorney, whatever it may be. No, he's a corrupt anti-Trump zealot. How is he even allowed to post those things and hold a high position at the FBI? You're supposed to be neutral to all people. How can anybody go up like Christopher Wray does? Like Merrick Garland does, like Lisa Monaco does, they go up and they say that we are an unbiased DOJ. When you have a major player running your Miami field office who is an anti-Trump zealot whose sole purpose in life before he took over the Miami field office that raided Mar-a-Lago, before he took that over, his sole purpose in life was making sure that anybody in the FBI who could conceivably be a whistleblower, in other words, somebody who's not an anti-Trump zealot, would be removed from the FBI. Look at all these guys. They look like, again, this was the poor kid on the bus, I guess, that everybody picked on. And now for the rest of his life, he wants to take vengeance. Look at this little Poindexter pansy boy who I guarantee you can't do 4 sit-ups and 2 push-ups. And now he's in charge of the field office in Miami. This is the guy in charge of the second assassination attempt. So you have the criminals investigating the crime they instigated. That's the title of the FBI. That's what FBI stands for. Federal Bureau of Instigation. Now you can bring it back to me. I just want everybody to see who these little Poindexters are, who these little limp-wristed weasels are. Okay, I didn't make it. 10-10. I didn't make it. I tried to make it. I was trying to make it. I mean, I thought I was going to get to my second story, which is the debate was rigged. It was rigged. ABC News whistleblower says it was.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting you know. So the debate was rigged. Trump still won, but it was rigged. All right. So anyway, let's go to the next one. Now this gets into some. Oh, the last thing I want to tell you. How did the FBI classify the Steve Scalise shooting? I mean, does everybody get this? I mean, I don't know how to put it into words otherwise, other than just Olympic levels of absurdity. The FBI, this guy, goes out and shoots up the Republican baseball team. You know, every year they have a congressional baseball game, Republican versus Democrats. Republicans are out there practicing. And this guy comes out and asks, where are the Republicans? He goes out there with his AR-15, shoots it up, and nearly kills Steve Scalise. And was shot dead by Capitol Hill Police. And the FBI classified it as suicide by cop. Wow. That's how they classified the crime. This guy just wanted to kill himself. So he went up and shot up. And this was a very zealous, excited Bernie Sanders supporter who had been told by Bernie Sanders that the Republicans were killing people because they were taking away Medicare and Medicaid. That's why he went out there and shot up the place and nearly killed Steve Scalise. It's almost as if the FBI is prejudicial towards the Democrats and wouldn't want to say that it was a Democrat going out to purposely shoot Republicans. It's almost as if they were trying to do that, because it's almost as if the FBI is not unbiased, but it's incredibly left-wing biased and is a Gestapo for the Democratic Party. A Real America's Voice video, Mike Benz again. At Mike Benz gives us an in-depth look at shooter Ryan Routh. Play it for me.
Yeah, it's all very preliminary right now, because the amount of evidence, the amount of the paper trail, the social media trail is so explosive, so vast. It touches so many touch points. You know, I just tweeted a few moments ago that this dude is like the Forrest Gump of CIA paramilitary activity. You can almost spin the globe and find a place where there was CIA paramilitary activity, and somehow Ryan Routh has just sort of waltzed his way through almost a dozen of them, from Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Haiti, Ukraine. It's quite shocking. You know, the official story that this is just some North Carolina construction worker who happened to have a hankering for Ukraine is absolute nonsense. The fact is what this guy was doing in hundreds and hundreds of Facebook posts that I viewed on a stream last night, is what he was doing is he was collecting passports for basically ISIS fighters, Al-Qaeda terrorists, who were at that time doing an influx into Ukraine to attack and kill Russians and assisting essentially the NATO goal there. Remember, ISIS is who we're told is who bombed the Moscow movie theater just a few months ago. ISIS is who's killing the Russians in Africa. ISIS is who's killing the Syrian government military folks in Assad. If you remember the WikiLeaks cable from 2012, where Hillary Clinton wrote that Al-Qaeda is on our side in Syria. Remember, ISIS is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. And you have the Secretary of State, who is effectively the quarterback of the CIA, saying that ISIS is on our side. And so there was an influx starting in 2015 after the 2014 CIA coup to overthrow the democratically elected government of Ukraine, when the eastern side of the eastern half of the Ukraine broke away. It became a breakaway republic, and Crimea voted to join the Russian Federation. And that was when NATO and the CIA and British intelligence all embarked on this capacity building mission to run guns, ammo, training, and warm human bodies to the new Kiev government so that they would have the military wherewithal to invade the western half of the state that had just broken away and take it back by military force. This is what precipitated Putin's invasion in 2022. It was the invasion from the east of eastern Ukraine into western Ukraine.
So this is basically a summation of what I'm talking about, is you have this corrupt oligarchy protecting their interests around the globe, and they rename it as democracy, or they rename it as national security interests when it's actually just their personal interest or the interest of the United States of America. But just a quick point on this. So you had CIA paramilitary activity in almost a dozen zones where Ryan Routh is in. And lo and behold, ready, Brent, one more time. So you have CIA paramilitary activity in 11 or 12 different areas of the world, and Ryan Routh ends up in each and every one of those zones and in the woods, two holes in front of Trump, in the woods with the skeeters. Weird how that just all happens to be coincidental. It's just very, this is a very intense, very specific coincidence, isn't it? That anybody that this involved in the CIA could just get information somehow from deep establishment, DC corruption, knowing exactly somebody as entrenched in the CIA as Ryan Routh is. He's still alive for now. This guy's so entrenched in the CIA, is able to get exactly where to sit in the woods, right when nobody else on the planet outside of 10 people knew where Trump was going to be. Weird, isn't it? I mean, it would be such a coincidence, but this guy's known by, I mean, again, he was profiled by the New York Times, chronicled by CBS News, chronicled by Newsweek, is a recruiter of CIA-trained Afghan fighters for Ukraine. He's in Ukraine. He's in Haiti. He's in Iran as an unemployed construction worker out of North Carolina. And he's in the woods, two holes ahead of Trump. Weird, isn't it? All right, that's good. I'm not going to do any more. Jeez. I got more. You know, I mean, man, there's one. Anybody see the video of the FBI showing up at this guy's house and the guy just letting him have it? Anybody see that? Oh, my gosh, so good. But it's 10:31. I got so much. I mean, I got a stack. I keep collecting more and more of the latest vaccine data. I just can't get to it because everyone's trying to kill Trump. Huge. Hey, world record on the Rumble rant tonight. This is a world record. Mo Baby, $100. I don't think we ever got $100 before, have we, Aaron?
I don't think so.
We ever have. Mo Baby, thank you so much. Text Billy, $50. Thank you, brother. Love you. CSUF, love you guys. They're all Foundation Church people. I know who they are. Harley D13, $20. Nude Monk, $20. And as always, Miss Faithful Tammy L. Margritter, $10. I appreciate you guys so much. If you ever are at Foundation Church, make sure you come up and tell me who you are. A lady come up and tell me, and a guy come up and tell me who they were this week, who were at Nitsal 99, told me. And so I just appreciate you guys whenever you tell me who you are, even if you attend the church, because the church has got 1,000 people here. I don't know who's who necessarily, but always come up and introduce yourself to me after church. I'm out there waiting and hugging and shaking hands with everybody. Appreciate you guys. Stick around for the post game. Post game's awesome. It's awesome. Again, post game's going to tear you down. And then right at the end, we're going to come back up. You got to see it. It's awesome. Love you guys. Appreciate you very much. I'll be in the chat during the post game. I'll see you tomorrow night, 9:00. God bless you. Most Christians, though, don't pass the test. And instead, they become controlled opposition for the devil. They just change their theology. They didn't pass the test, but you know what? God's just all about being in the midst of our struggles. That's not a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. God wants you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, not ever struggle. If you do these things, you will never struggle. Those things are really the four essentials: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship. Well, I tried that. Yeah, you tried it for a day, you tried it for a week, tried it for a month, maybe even tried it for a year. But you gave the devil 50 years and you gave God 50 minutes. I'm telling you right now, if you prayed and studied the word every day, you would never, ever struggle in your walk with God.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.